laughs, bits, tangents. Matt and Mike, virginal fans, began watching One Piece and everything the show had to offer. And their nonsense ideas drove them to create their podcast.
Buggy the Clown is back. Fuck, fuck.
This is a One Piece podcast.
These words lured listeners to their grand show in what's now known as the Fun Piece Podcast.
Yayo, 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 ho ho, set sail for Fun Piece. It's the name of the podcast with Matt and Mike. Yayo, yayo, set sail for Fun Piece.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fun Piece Podcast. My name's Mike. Matt drank a lot of wine and cherry cola from somebody's shoe. At least that's what he thought. I just was lacing his drinks with NyQuil, and now he's dead. I killed Matt.
I'm here, but I'm also here, and I can't talk. I have a terrible voice.
You sound so pathetic.
He lived, bitch. We revived the historian. Turns out the cold storage, the freezer we have in the basement was unplugged, so we just plugged that back in. It sorted itself out.
Yeah.
And Sebastian, we won't leave.
I'm still here.
Matt keeps feeding him treats.
I keep coming back.
We were supposed to watch some episodes of Thriller Bark, but there was a holiday. It was the new year, and we didn't. So it's a filler episode. That's why I opened, so you know you're in for some disappointment.
Also, I can't really talk that much. Because I'm maybe sick. Oh, I don't know. This is bad audio, and we don't want you all to hear this for 2 hours or however long it is. So
it's fine. This is probably going to be a shorter episode than usual. We were really really racking our brains for what to talk about, and it's the thing that made the most sense is, how would Foxy beat the strongest person in another anime? So I wanted to go through everybody's favorite anime, and we can figure out how Silver Fox Foxy would defeat One Punch Man. How he would defeat the big boy from Full Metal Alchemist. How he would defeat Goku.
Oh my God.
I think it's the time we break all this down and really... really get into brass tacks about what One Piece is about, and it's Silver Fox Foxy. How do you guys feel about that?
The reason I like One Punch Man is because these conversations just don't happen. That's the whole point of One Punch Man.
There is that no sounds power.
Like a, that sounds like a huge disappointment.
There's no power.
And it's
scaling.
Just because Silver Fox Foxy isn't in One Punch Man. That's good, actually. How do you guys feel about subjecting Sebastian to forcing him to talk about power levels?
I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast, isn't it? Is torturing at least one of the hosts that's recording?
Yeah, it makes sense. I was worried because I thought Matt wasn't going to be here, and I was like, oh shit, the historian and Sebastian are going to gang up on my... I thought this was like a coordinated strike to assassinate my character.
No, I'm still here. I'm just...
I know. We can't kill you.
I'm just going to assassinate Matt in real life. I'm
just going to assassinate the listener's ears with my voice.
You need to stop licking doorknobs, Matt.
They're just so tasty. They got everyone's delicious skin oils
on
it.
No, the issue is Matt watched that one Japanese game show where they turn items in the room into chocolate, and now he's convinced that eventually one doorknob that he bites will be chocolate. It never is, though.
Ooh,
it's like,
is that why Matt has no teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that is just a convenient excuse, because I've seen this person in real life find money on the streets of New York City and put it in his mouth.
I did do that. It's like
that's how you put multiple random objects in your mouth this past weekend.
I was just testing if it was cake. It's like that whole trend where is it cake?
Turns out most of the time, no.
Oh my god!
Yeah, sometimes is it chocolate? Sometimes is it cake? It's fine.
Would you bite into paper money?
Yeah, it was like a $5 bill, right?
Oh god!
He just put it in his mouth. And it wasn't even because that whole weekend was placing bets on odds as to if someone would do something or not do something. And I'm fairly certain that Matt did that unprompted. No one dared him. He just put it in his mouth.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody who I was with, except for me, everybody else might have partaken in some magic cookies. And so maybe it gave them an extra sensory adventure when I did that. Where they all just went, whoa. Cool.
Man, Matt, I'm so glad the NyQuil didn't take.
So your reasoning is that everyone else was high, so you had to eat money.
Exactly.
Yeah, but for real, I think it would be cool. We talk about One Piece a lot, which is fine. I could take it or leave it. It seems like it's okay. But I wanted to, you know, really grill the rest of the podcast family about some of, you know, anime or something else that you just really like, because we have our favorites, and I want to know about what they are and why you like them. I know what they are, but the people listening don't know, so we're going to kind of create the illusion that.
Happy New Year, everyone, by the way. It's a new year.
Fuck that.
Very exciting.
Matt, stop talking.
Happy New Year.
This is
2024. We're gonna meet Triple Door Law. We're going to meet Jinbei. I said it right.
Do you meet Truffle Dog Law this year?
We're going to meet Jinbei. We're going to meet Truckle Dog. We're going to meet... We're going to meet again Don Flamingo, I'm predicting. I can't wait to see Don Flamingo and Truckle Dog kiss. And they're probably best friend. I think Truffle Dog is a villain at first, and then Luffy wins his heart. And I think Don Flamingo, I know Don Flamingo is a piece of shit, but I think we're going to really like him. Yeah. Matt, in five words, what is your prediction for One Piece in 2024? By which I mean old One Piece that everybody else has watched that we haven't seen.
Big boys getting slapped, baby.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty safe bet.
It's a pretty safe bet. I was going to say, yeah, we can pretty much guarantee that you will see big boys get slapped, baby.
Anybody you guys don't want to see come back? Actually, I mean, you guys know. Doesn't work. I can't ask questions because they all know the answers. Who's the worst person who came back that you hated that I've already seen?
Boy.
Oh, are you going to answer that? That was a trick because that was going to be a spoiler. They almost answered it, Matt. The fools.
I have a legitimate answer too. It's
are you?
Is it Jimby?
I'm talking again. Are you insinuating that Spawndom is not dead and that he's going to come back? Because if you recall in a previous episode of the podcast, I said I'm going to poop myself if he comes back.
Yeah, I looked at the wiki. I'll look at it again. Because I was so confident that Spawndom was fine and he's going to be able to walk.
I don't want to know. Don't say anything else to me.
It says Spawndom will return in Avengers 5. Oh my god. Oh no. Oh wow, I read that. I can't wait to watch the movies, Matt. Anyway. I was told, historian, can you confirm? I was told we can watch Big World after Thriller Bark. Is that true? Confirm or deny?
I believe so. Matt was asking me about this the other day. The issue we're running into is there are a handful of movies that you guys could technically watch. It's just the means of me getting my hands on them for you to watch. I do have a couple of in podcast fashion where this is about pirates. I do have a couple of them pirated, but they never...
Allegedly.
They never... Allegedly. No one can confirm anything. They never got English translations. So most of the subtitles are even questionable. But yes, coming up after Thriller Bark, you will be able to watch Strong World, which Strong World is one of the first ones that got brought over when it was made to be translated in the US. Some of them have now gone back, like Episode of Chopper, Episode of Alabasta. You can get dubs of those as well. But Strong World is kind of where they picked up on.
Okay, so 2024, we're going to watch Strong World. I think we watch all of the ones that weren't translated without subtitles and try to figure out what's happening.
Okay. I think you...
How do you feel about that, Matt? Matt, give me a thumbs up.
They've also existed long enough that, like, you can find non-official translations, if that makes sense. And that's probably just as good as an official translation.
Yeah. I feel like we all really ignored my question about everybody's favorite anime.
I answered it already.
But why? Expand. Is it just because there are no power levels? Is it that shallow?
No, so I will say in One Punch Man universe, there are certainly power levels. There's like a whole hero academy. There's different ranks. There's different... Each rank has like a number 1 through 10 or whatever. Like, you know, they keep going. I don't know how many.
There's like a dog guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the dog guy.
There's a dog guy?
At least...
Yeah, he's like a dude dressed as a dog.
Yeah.
He's like one of the strongest heroes or something.
Yep, he's just like a guy in like a dog costume. Hold on,
if I Google One Punch Man dog guy...
I don't remember them showing him fight. I think he would just like... They would just show him on a bunch of corpses.
Oh, no, he fights.
Oh, okay. I don't remember any fight scenes with him. The aftermath.
Like many anime manga pairings, the manga is further ahead than the anime is. But
anyway, continue.
All that aside, so like Saitama, One Punch Man, has really like a not important rank for most of the time, but he wins. Like, that's the story. Everyone argues about power levels the whole time, but One Punch Man wins. That's the end of the bit.
But I watched the first season of the anime, and I feel like that had a surprising amount of heart. Like, who's the Kamen Rider guy?
Moomin Rider?
Moomin Rider, yeah. Yeah, and he's just like a guy on a bicycle who is not particular. Like, he's just a guy, I think?
Yep, he is just a guy.
But he has like a whole thing where he like stands up to a giant fish monster guy, and it's like really heartfelt and sweet. He's like talking about what it means to be a hero. What's your take on like characters like that? Do you like them? Or?
He was promptly beaten to a pulp after his heroic speech.
But that's that's not the point. Like, I think he knew that was going to happen, right?
I think the point is like it's kind of like a satire, where normally in like anime that you have like the person who like shows up, the little guy is going to beat the big guy, he does his big speech, and then he like he overcomes and beats the big guy. If One Punch Man, the big guy wins because he's a huge giant sea monster and you're a guy on a bicycle.
I am finding him a big fan to... I don't know his like actual name, but I think he goes by One, the author of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been watching Mob Psycho 100, which is really, like, phenomenal. Phenomenally good. Like, it's a lot of fun, and I don't know if it's really, like, as much of a... take on a specific genre, but it is like, here's a character who's like very powerful compared to everybody else, but like he is held back by the fact that he doesn't know how to talk to girls or like navigate the actual world in any meaningful way, and it's very charming. And like, he is guided by a con man the entire time, while also being like one of the most powerful beings in existence.
Can I spoil some One Punch Man?
Is that okay? Yeah. If you're not caught up with One Punch Man, skip ahead 30 seconds, I guess.
Yeah. So there's a point where a big evil guy is clearly winning the battle against all the other heroes. And One Punch Man shows up late. He's going to take the big evil guy out, and he's about to punch him and kill him when a small boy is just like, "Don't, he's my friend." So One Punch Man punches so hard that he goes back in time to before the big evil guy had his powers, and he defeats him in the past.
What?
Yeah. It's great.
God, okay, maybe I have to read that.
It's great.
For half a second, amazing. I thought you were going to say that he went back in time and stopped the child from ever becoming his friend, and then punched him to death.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
That would have been better.
There's still, is One Punch Man still going, or is it done?
Yeah, no, it's still, there's still new chapters.
That's impressive that they can figure out continued plot lines with the protagonist being the most powerful being in existence. But
Saitama's not a huge part of the story, actually. Because of that.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Perfect example is when you brought up your favorite character, or like your favorite part of One Punch Man. It had nothing to do with One Punch Man. It was about...
So they just have like a lot of that.
Yeah.
Is the robot guy still around?
The cyborg? I should really remember his name.
Genos?
Yeah, he is. Genos, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the best part. So Genos, as a character... is just a witness to One Punch Man. Like, every time, like...
And he's, like, the try-hard edgy character, right?
Right, but he also, like, he fights Saitama very early on and realizes he's very strong. Mm-hmm. And then, while Saitama is, like, very low rank or, like, not really respected, Genos is the only person who knows his strength. So when One Punch Man is punching backwards in time... at that point, Genos had, quote-unquote, died. I don't know. He was holding, like, Genos' memory core in his hand when he punched backwards through time. Uh-huh. And then made a whole new timeline. And the only person who knows that it happened is Genos, because he was holding on to his memory core at the time.
So that's just the bit, is that the only person who knows what this guy has done is
yeah.
this robot boy. That's incredible. Well, hey, this is a One Piece podcast, but go read or watch One Punch Man.
Yeah.
Recommended by our very own librarian, Sebastian. Historian.
Yeah.
Why do you love FLCL so much?
I do. I.
Sorry, did I get that?
You aren't.
FLCL?
FLCL.
Fully Cooley.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Matt, have you not seen Fully? You would like Fully Cooley.
No.
I don't even know what the fuck Fully Cooley is about.
I'm not going to let Matt watch Fully Cooley, only because, as you guys know in your friendships with him, he just like gets really hyper-fixated on like 2-second long audio clips and repeats them indefinitely up to 100 times a day, no matter what he's doing.
Big piss
is for sure one of them. Mike, you recently showed us that video. I don't even know how to describe it. It's the animation hate with Scooby-Doo characters.
Shit's purple. Shit's purple.
Yeah.
the delicate
yeah. Steve.
It's a delicate Steve.
That has been my life for the last 72 hours, is just listening to Matt repeat that. So I cannot let him watch Fully Cooley, or it will be the same exact thing.
Is there anything that quotable? I haven't watched it since like high school. How do you know? Like
it's been, middle school. It's been so long, but like everything the dad says in that show.
Matt, don't worry. I'll sneak you some episodes.
Let's go.
Nope. But I think you like Full Metal Alchemist. I tried to watch the first episode of Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. I didn't realize that show starts like it's in the middle of a season.
It just kind of puts you in it. I mean, it gets you up to speed fairly quickly.
Yeah. It tells you that Edward... does not like that people call him short.
Yep. And I'm trying... I'm trying to think what... I mean, if you know anything about the series, the kids do a bad job trying to bring their mom back to life and lose parts of their bodies. Which they kind of let you know in
the big guy.
Episode or two. You say big guy, you got it. There's so many big guys in Full Metal Alchemist.
The big guy, Charlie Brown, but buff. Armstrong?
Oh, Alex, yeah.
He's great.
It's something you have to watch.
Do you like it because it's depressing?
I mean, yes. No, it's a very good start to finish show that falls into the category of a lot of the media that I like, which is things that knew their ending when they were started. So it is a finite story. Everything gets wrapped up. There is no additional. There's not a lot of like changes in the writing process when the creator is doing it. She knew the story she wanted to tell, did the entire thing start to finish, and was like, it doesn't need anything else.
That's nice. Cool. So obviously you'd recommend people check it out. I assume people have checked it out. I can only guess that only anime nerds are listening to this and have consumed it.
No, definitely check it out. You can watch the original. The original kind of unfortunately got the Game of Thrones treatment where halfway through they caught up and the creator was like, do something with it, and they dropped the ball really, really hard. So watch Brotherhood. Watch it all the way through. I do want to give you a warning. Matt can confirm. I forget if it's episode 3 or 4. I think it's episode 4. Episode 4 is very, very rough. Do not watch it on a Sunday morning. It will ruin your day. And if you get through episode 4, you can handle the rest of the show, and it's fine. And it's
is episode great. 4 the one you the only one I've is episode 4 the one you showed me?
Did we show you episode 4?
Does it have to do with a child?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we showed you number 4.
Does it have to do with a canine companion?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be episode 4. Why did we show
is
that
it like
to you?
Like if Homeward Bound was nothing like Homeward Bound. I don't know. That's the only episode I saw for a while. You were just like, this is Full Metal Alchemist, and I was like, "Oh." Okay.
That's if you can get through how absolutely horrible that experience is, the rest of the show is great. It's a good story. It's wonderful characters. Just, you know, be wary about episode 4 and you'll be fine. It'll be great. It's totally fun.
How many episodes are there that 4 is the one? I guess it's nice they put it so early.
It is 64 episodes, start to finish. And I mean, there's so much happens in the first, like, 10 episodes of setup that the rest of the series is just problem solving.
Okay. Cool. I swear, 2024, I will watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Okay, what series can we watch for you then, Mike?
Trigun.
I've seen Trigun. I've seen Ranking of Kings.
You've seen Ranking of Kings. Mm-hmm. You've seen Mob Psycho. Mm-hmm. I don't know what anime I would have seen that you haven't seen.
There's got
to
be something.
I want Sebastian to watch Mob Psycho. I think Sebastian would enjoy that.
Everyone would benefit from watching Mob Psycho.
Is there a manga version? I don't actually really watch it.
Yes, and it's actually illustrated by One, so it's like the grungliest looking thing. It's so fucking good. It is, oh man. Visually, I cannot stress how much I fucking love art done by people who are not like traditionally trained artists. It's so much better than good art.
So it's like old style.
It's so good.
It's like old style One Punch Man before they got the artist to do it, man.
It's so fucking, and what's incredible is I was looking through the, because my roommate has all the manga, I was looking through it and you see him get so much better. It's incredible. It's really beautiful. God, I don't know. I'm going to watch Delicious in Dungeon, which I think comes out, by the time you hear this, it should be out in 2 days on the 4th on Netflix.
I think
it's coming out piecemeal. Delicious in Dungeon, Dungeon Meshi, fucking great. If you like cooking and dwarves.
Dwarves?
There's a dwarf, yeah, and he just likes to cook.
Oh.
He's fucking awesome. It's like very traditional fantasy setting. Like it's a party of a human like fighter, a dwarven chef, I guess, a halfling thief, and then an elf magician, and they're going down into a dungeon to rescue the human fighter's sister who got gobbled by a dragon. So they're like, maybe she's still alive, and they're trying to go save her. It's a good time though. It's really like beautifully illustrated. That author, I think specifically, does a good job of like she would do studies of like, I'm going to draw like six different faces that are all like the same basic features. And that it's like dark beard, long hair, blue eyes. And then like, how do I make that look different across the board? So there's a lot of like consideration for that. If you're like an, I don't know, art person.
Hmm.
I think if you guys could watch all of Dragon Ball.
Oh God. How long is Dragon Ball?
Shorter than One Piece.
And that's probably including what? Dragon Ball Z and Super?
Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super, Dragon Ball GT if you're feeling frisky.
Is that the one where Vegeta gets a mustache?
That's the one where Vegeta gets a mustache. Krillin gets a mustache. There's a lot of dad energy. Goku gets little. Trunks is there a lot.
What do you mean Goku gets little?
He gets little again. I forget how. I didn't really watch. I watched like sporadic episodes of GT, but like they turned Goku into Kid Goku again.
Okay.
And eventually he learns how to go Super Saiyan 4, which is just like Goku, but he's like a monkey with long black hair.
He's got red fur on his arms, but not on his chest or abs.
Yeah, he's kind of like it's a big Sonic the Hedgehog.
One of my Gokus that's in your office, historian. Is that?
It's where we got Gogeta originally.
Yeah.
Goku and Vegeta did the fusion dance and they turned into Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta. It sounds dumb when you explain it.
It sounds worse when you say Vegito.
It does.
Yeah. That's worse.
But I don't think we'd have One Piece without Dragon Ball.
Oh, I don't think we would. At least not to the same
degree. I don't think we'd have
degree.
A lot of things without Dragon Ball. Yeah. We wouldn't have One Punch Man without Dragon Ball.
That's true. I mean, One Punch Man, I think, exists as like a reflection of a lot of anime. So like,
it's, yeah, I'm probably specifically Dragon Ball because that is like the culprit. I wonder if they regret being like, oh, power levels, and it's like, oh, fuck. Like, now the internet can't fucking shut up about it.
Yeah, why'd you put a number to it?
Yeah. I wish Oda would just say that Luffy's power level is 1, but he wins because he's the main character, and just be done with it, because that's all that, you know, it's all that it is. I had another thought about Dragon. Oh, I actually really appreciate Dragon Ball and Toriyama for the opposite reason that you said for Fullmetal Alchemist. Toriyama said, he's like, I couldn't be bothered to plan that much ahead, so he would just improvise as he drew. He was so good at like illustrating fight scenes that he'd just be like, yeah, I just kind of did it and like intuitively did things and like being the weird sweetheart that he is, like during Dragon Ball's run, the background artists complained about how complicated some of the statues in the tournament arena were. So he had Goku or someone blow them up so they didn't have to draw them anymore. It's just like, that man is like, so like, yeah, fuck work. Like, who needs it? Like, make it easier.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's just two different kinds of things to enjoy. Because, I mean, the same thing can be said for One Piece. One Piece was probably supposed to end, like, a decade ago. And then he was like, no, you know what? Let's add Warlords. Let's see what that's about. Mm-hmm. And we got, you know, another 600 chapters out of One Piece, plus probably another, you know, I'd say at least 100 to go. Finite stories are good, but also things that, you know, ride eternal. We're going to be getting Dragon Ball for, what, another 20 years?
Yeah. And Dragon Ball was supposed to end when Goku went Super Saiyan.
Could you,
like, that's
could
when
you
Toriyama was like, I want this to fucking end. He's like, this is done. Like, Gohan was supposed to be the new main character. It was a he's like, please.
Question.
He started making all the villains based on his, like, editors that he hated.
Question for you guys. Because Dragon Ball and One Piece have now reached the lofty heights of fame in America by being included in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. What's going to be the next anime that makes it?
I think people really like Jujutsu Kaisen. Do you think that's got, like, staying power?
I don't think it has staying power.
Or is that just, like, is that just a splash? Like, a quick...
People might not like me for this. I think it's a flash. I hear so many complaints from people who like the show and don't like the show that... It's like the same thing. I don't like JJK for the same reason you don't like The Boys, Mike.
Ooh, okay.
And
like, it's just...
It exists to just... It exists to punish the people who want to enjoy it.
Okay, interesting. For the record, I don't care for The Boys... I don't care for The Boys or... what's the other one? Invincible? Invincible's better. But Evil Superman needs to fucking stop. It's not fun. It's not, like, it's so fucking done. I would like a good Superman before we continue that. Actually, the Adventures of Superman? That, like, Superman anime where he has a magical girl transformation?
That's the newer one, right?
Yeah, it's so sweet. It's so good. Like, let Superman be a good boy. It's not that fucking hard. It's just so easy. Like, just, you know, let us have wholesome things. People clearly love it. People love Luffy, and he's just a little bundle of wholesome.
He very much is. There's been... I exist on Twitter, which I probably shouldn't. It's a nightmare hellhole on that godforsaken website. But recently, there's a new arc that's actually going to start in, you know, a couple of days after this episode releases, January 5th.
Is that the egg one that I've heard about?
Egg. Yeah, we'll go with egg. And it's a very whimsical, a very bubbly, I'm not going to say bubble. Everything is round, soft edges, design-wise. And people are getting mad. And by people, I mean fans that I don't agree with. Getting mad, being like, what the fuck did they do to Luffy? Because he is very, you know, gritty in the arc before. It's a darker themed arc. And it's like, no, he's just a lad. He is whimsy incarnate. Like, he's always gonna be that. He's always silly. He rolls up to any fight wearing flip-flops. You can just hear the slap of them against the pavement. Yeah. Like, it's never... One Piece is very serious, but it's grounded in shenanigans.
Yeah, it's Looney Tunes. Like, at its core, it's Looney Tunes. Like, I know it's a fucking bit, but, like, I genuinely think Foxy is one of the strongest villains because he inhabits that, like, core like inspiration so much.
He's the only one, at least so far, that Luffy has like looked like eye level with. Everyone else he knows he doesn't like for one reason or another. Foxy, he's just ready to engage at a pirate to pirate level.
Yeah, like it's, I think he's the villain who's really not doing any damage. Again, he's taking the sex offenders off the high seas and shoving them in a crate. doing the Lord's work. Yeah, that's why, I don't know. I know people like the grittiness. Like, I'll always go to bat for, like, a fun Batman over a gritty Batman. Christian Bale was, like, you know, no fault to him. I'm not a big Nolan fan, but, like, those movies were, like, so boring to me because they were so dire and, like, dry and lifeless. Like, there was no fun to be had. And I can't, no matter how hard you try, I can't take a guy who dresses up like a bat seriously enough for you to tell me it's, like, a real gritty, realistic superhero. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's always going to be a little bit whimsical. Like, have some fucking fun with it. I still have to watch the Robert Pattinson. I had to see Twilight first because I had to know the prequel to the Batman before I saw the Batman. But I've heard good things.
That is
I heard after Twilight. I heard, because he's a vampire in Twilight, and then he goes full bat in the Batman, and then I think the next logical movie to watch is The Boy and the Heron, because he goes full bird in that one.
I do want to see that.
Well, no, in the middle between the Batman and The Boy and the Heron is The Lighthouse, where he kills a bird, and then The Boy and the Heron is when he becomes the bird.
Of course, of course.
And,
of course.
Between The Lighthouse and The Bird and the Heron is that one picture of him in a kitchen or a jacket.
Sebastian's silence is echoing so loud during that last bit.
What echoed?
Sebastian silence.
Oh
yeah, yeah. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, Sebastian has no fucking idea what we're talking about.
Yeah. Hey, Mike and Matt. Matt, you don't have to have a long answer.
Oh, we will. We're only 36 minutes in.
Who's your favorite animal companion so far in One Piece?
Ooh, mine's obvious. But
I mean, I know Mike's. Do you want to say each other's? I think that's more fun.
Okay.
That's cute.
I think Mike.
On a count of three?
Okay, so I'm saying Mike's favorite, and Mike's saying my favorite.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Here we go. Three.
One, two, three.
Pierre.
Karoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're both bird boys. Have there been animal companions that aren't... Well, there's the big dog.
I mean, Laboon. Laboon is probably...
Laboon's his own man.
Laboon is like...
Laboon's ain't nobody's companion.
Laboon is a full city.
Laboon pays his own taxes, gets his own groceries. He's a big baby, but he takes care of himself. I think... Yeah, what do you like about Karoo, Matt? If you don't mind talking a little bit.
I like Karoo's got a whole crew of friends. I like that Karoo likes drinking Baja Blast. And I like that Karoo...
I'm dying.
I like that Karoo... I like that Karoo believes in himself.
Oh.
And he believes in friendship.
Karoo probably has the biggest character growth in the series so far. You know, he has so much courage and faces so much and becomes brave in the end. Mm. You're squinting at me.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying really hard not to cough.
Oh, okay. You can mute yourself again.
Yeah.
I'll answer why I like Pierre. I like Pierre because he looks like a man dressed as a bird, and then he goes, Pierre! And that's it.
That's it.
It's fucking do or die, too. Pierre would kill for anybody he loved. Skypiea is a good arc because of Pierre.
So Skypiea has another option in Sue, who I don't remember.
That's the little...
Is that the big dog?
No, Sue is the little cat fox thing. Creature. The cat fox that...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hangs out with, I feel, Conus. I couldn't remember her name for a second. Yeah, he's like one of the first companions in that arc.
Speaking, you know, we're in 2024 now, reflecting on 2023. So from... We're at Thriller. So let's say Enies Lobby, like the romance on Enies Lobby. Do you guys have a particular moment that really stuck out to you in One Piece? Like, not necessarily like saying it's overall the best, because like I Want to Live is great. There's lots of good moments, but is there something that like really stuck with you that you think about when you think of One Piece? In that span of time, because obviously there's a we're only a third of the way through at that point, there's so much more, but like in that first third of One Piece, is there something that you like resonated with?
So for me, but even if like you didn't put it in that time frame, if you had to ask, like, I don't know why this is what I react to the most, but in all the reading, the end of the Mary was like, I got more sad about a boat than than anything else in the series.
It really fucking hits. It's really incredible. And One Piece is so good at that. Like, I wrote a play once, and you all got to see that play. I'm a big fan of let's have fun and then make it not fun for a little bit and make everybody feel real emotions really hard and then go back to having fun. And I feel like One Piece does that in spades. I feel like One Piece is like so fucking good at that. Especially with moments like that where it like wrestling, it lets things simmer and then pay off in such a big way. Because like we spent a year and a half with Mary and then had to experience that. Other people spent longer before that moment happened and are like, what the fuck? So much more uncertainty, so much more like, what happens next? And then like, you know, they make a point of like, the Mary is a member of the crew.
Yeah, because up until it hurts. That point, until the Mary kind of shows up to rescue them in Enies Lobby, because I'm pretty sure I'd mentioned to you guys, in the manga, they do not include, like, the vision of the Mary chasing the train going towards Enies Lobby. That was something that was only included in the anime. So you get even more blindsided in the manga because it's just, you know, the Mary is broken in Skypiea. The Mary continues to be broken. Kaku fucking drops the Mary out into the ocean kind of thing. So you do not really expect this, except for, you know, the couple of little candy trail jelly beans left by them talking about, like, oh, the Klabouterman, however it's pronounced. And then it's just like, oh, they made this sentient. They gave it a voice and they gave it a soul, and then it dies.
Yeah. And it's just like, there's so much emotion around it too, with like, because like Luffy and Usopp get into their fight, and then Usopp like eventually admits that he knew that it was like beyond repair. I don't know.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's like, you know, Matt and I had our whole fight about Zoro and stuff with Usopp coming back, and like I was 110% on Usopp's side, because like I feel like I just like resonated with that feeling of like everything that he was going through, like that whole experience. And I think that's like a common thing where it's hard to let go, you know, like I had to feel that, you know, this past Thanksgiving when my car got fucking totaled, and like that car has like ferried me through so much. And it's just, it is just a car, but like when you spend that much time with an object, it builds a sort of like soul to you where it, you know, it is very special. And like, you know, it was fucking weird that the Mary died. Like, we were at the point where the Mary went away, and then I was like, okay, bye car. Like, I had to ferry it away and sell it for like a couple hundred dollars.
Did you also burn it?
I wish. I tried, but they tackled me to the ground. They held me down screaming. What about you, historian? Is there anything in that time frame?
The thing that, I mean, all of Water 7 as a whole was fantastic. I think the part I enjoyed most up until now, there's definitely other stuff. And this is like a good, not as sad thing, I guess. It is fairly sad. But Frankie's introduction to the crew, being mostly through Robin and him not really knowing them, but just immediately being like, even though he runs like a local gang and whatever, and everyone knows him for streaking and just being a general burden to society, he realizes that she is going through something that he went through in being persecuted and being told he shouldn't exist and all of these horrible, horrible things, and does not question it. He just goes along with them. And he is kind of the one to help turn the tides and tell her, like, your existence isn't wrong. You deserve these opportunities. You deserve these friends and all this stuff for no other reason than he believes that that is the right thing to do. Which yeah. I think all of the crew members would, you know, go to hell and back for each other. But up until this point, he really does not have any reason to do these things besides that he wants to. And I'm sure a little bit was like, you know, I got a chance to redeem myself. You also deserve a chance here. No questions asked. I will, you know, duke this out with you to make sure that, you know, they want you out of here alive. That's what we're doing. So fucking come on, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very real thing of like seeing something you've been through and then realizing somebody else is going through it and like being like, yeah, all right. I vibe with you. This is real. Do you think Oda knows, like, when he's writing this stuff, or it's all just like beautiful accidents that everybody reads too much into?
I think it can be both. I'm sure he knows to a certain degree. Like, he has planned, you know, these are going to be like pinnacle moments when this tragedy happens and whatever arc it may happen in. But I think that's part of why One Piece works so well, is that there is just enough wiggle room for personal translation, that you can take certain things how you want to, you know, whether it's a character's intentions and why they do things. There's enough wiggle room for it to not really bastardize the story, but still make it a more personal experience of reading or watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it ends up coming across well in like a unidirectional thing. Like, it seems like there's some stuff that, like you were saying, some stuff is planned, some stuff's made up or like as it's going on. But if you go back like afterwards, go way back to the beginning, you're like, I think these characters would act slightly differently now that I know what they know. Like, you know, you learn more information about what happens in the past.
Like, stuff they've experienced.
Right. And, you, like, it's only clear if you, like, go back and, like, really dissect stuff.
Right.
Be like, this character knows, like, more information in the future of the story. But, like, he... I don't know. I can't... It's really... I have to be very vague.
yeah, right, because you can't spoil anything.
Yeah. Fine. No, I think Sebastian, you had, like, while watching the live action, had messaged me in the same room about that, being like, wouldn't they behave differently if they technically knew this information, but we didn't know that they knew this information? So you do run into things like that, yeah. But I guess it's just kind of suspension of disbelief a little bit.
Matt, what about you? Do you have a moment that stuck out?
That was...
Oh, it's so sad whenever he talks. I was just thinking about how I have to edit 4 audio files.
Yeah, I'm
sorry.
I mean, you kind of touched on all of them. I feel like the like the most emotionally charged I was, or like emotionally vulnerable I felt. Is that what we're asking?
Just, yeah, something that stood out to you. What's your Roman Empire of One Piece?
I mean, probably the end of Alabasta when Vivi's on the shore with Karu and the rest of the crew is not acknowledging her, but they all raise their fists and show off their exes. I literally was just on the couch bawling my eyes out, and Historian came home to me watching that. So probably that.
Yeah, that's. I feel like that's a good one. That's like a pretty big moment, and I think like a defining moment for what it seems like so far the Straw Hats do. They fucking roll in and completely upend and change something, usually for the better, and you know, just change people's lives, not because they have to, but because they just seem to fundamentally care about people.
Yeah.
Like, I guess similar, mine's a little different. Like, mine is, the moment where they have the bonfire in Skypiea, and I don't know if that's in the manga or not. Is it in the manga?
Yeah.
So they have in the woods, they have the big, like, bonfire with all the wolves, and everybody's partying and drinking, and it's just, like, I don't know, something about it, like, it's got the whole family song, and, like, I felt like that was a defining moment of how they function, and, like, why I felt like it makes sense that we're following this crew and not somebody else. And, you know, like, Shanks has a crew, Blackbeard has a crew, Whitebeard has a crew, but I feel like the Straw Hats are a bunch of friends who all view themselves very equal. And the, like, foundation of it is that they just care about each other and want the best for, like, they're not just going out to be pirates and, you know, get treasure. That's part of it. But, like, they're all there because they see that together they can help each other achieve, you know, the best lives they possibly can have instead of being stuck in, you know, where they were, you know, like, Luffy is just this, like, fundamental, like, I'm doing my thing, but throughout all of it, he's able to, like, basically save everybody's lives, right? Zoro was gonna die. Zoro accepted that he was gonna die.
That's the interesting thing.
But Luffy came in and saved him.
For the most part, the relationships that Luffy has with his crew is him saving them from either, you know, immediate death that is incoming in the form of Zoro, or, you know, saving Usopp from a life of continuing to run around the islands lying to people, saving Nami from her village and everything going on with Arlong. But none of those people ever feel like they actually owe Luffy. They continue to follow him because they want to, and they know that he's probably going to continue to do the same thing for other people. That's why when they meet Robin and he's like, no, I think I trust her, I think she's a good person, kind of thing, they, you know, aren't happy with it, but they go along with it because at the end of the day they trust Luffy to make those decisions as captain.
Yeah, like a lot of them, a good chunk of them were like not, maybe could have been seen as villains or did some things, especially Nami, like she saw herself as a villain at that point and was like just trying to separate herself, but Luffy still stuck by her. It's still like the philosophy of Luffy just being like, I don't give a shit what you did, you are who you are now, is really like powerful and really sweet, and I think like a good thing to do with people, because people have pasts and like have done things that you don't like, you know, have helped them become who they are, maybe for better or worse, but you know, if they are at a point where they're trying to be their best selves and do a positive thing, like, why not support them in that?
So, you know who agrees with you about the bonfire scene?
Who?
Oda.
Oh, is that his favorite?
A few years ago, moment? He listed it as his third favorite panel in One Piece.
Why? Why is that?
So apparently, Skypiea was written around making that panel happen.
Really?
Yeah.
What? What?
Envisioning the scene was what motivated Oda to draw the Skypiea arc.
Like, is to have them have a little bonfire, like where they're all dancing around,
yeah,
and having a good time. I think, like, I genuinely, like, I think Skypiea's got its faults, but I think it's really important for how much it is, like, how much the Straw Hats are not doing anything for clout. Because nobody fucking knows that they were up there. Like, they went up, fought a guy, a self-proclaimed god, and then just came back down. Like, it was, like, no big deal. It was very, like Saitama, you know, travel back in the past. Who's going to fucking know except for them? And nobody, they don't fucking talk about it. They just keep going because they're like, yeah, you know, no big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really sweet. One Piece is a special thing. Even if it gets somehow, like, gets horrifically bad and just poorly written and shitty, I think it's always going to hold a special place because, you know, it's been 2023 was a trying year, but One Piece was there. It helps. It helped fuel a sense of family. It's just a good thing. It's a good thing.
It'll definitely be interesting. You guys are still, I mean, you've hit the stride of Water 7 Enies Lobby, and it kind of, it goes up and down a little bit, and then you hit another stride, but with everything, with the arc that just finished in the anime, with the arc that is, you know, midway to, I would say, probably three quarters of the way done right now, Oda just kind of continues to not miss. The arc that just had ended was very, very long time coming to be completed, but with everything recently, everyone is just excited week after week, which is kind of what I said with JJK being a flash in the pan, is that the creator's just pissing people off. One Piece does a good job of sticking to the vision that Oda has, whether you like it or not, but you still respect the decisions being made. I have hope it cannot not falter at the end.
And even, you know, even if there's some, like, issues, I think One Piece is so long at this point. I know a bad ending can ruin a thing, right? But, like,
yeah,
journey has been, there's been so many good endings in One Piece with every arc that, mm-hmm. like, I think it's owed that respect.
It does have that as an advantage of, like, the stories, you know, are part of a larger story, but also self-contained. So you can, like, mm-hmm. get the satisfaction of a good ending in each individual little arc.
Yeah. They, it's smart, I think, because, like, even if you're like, the ending of One Piece faltered, but, like, I really liked how Enies Lobby ended or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this was a remarkably unfunny episode, you guys. I got Crocs for Christmas.
Nice. Welcome to the club. I got Crocs.
And I got, I went to the mall near where, the historian and Matt live, and also Sebastian, and, they had a bunch of One Piece Croc charms. So I got a Hero Look one to remind me that one day I will be an old man and I will blow myself up to overthrow a government for my son who's gonna be a doctor.
Is it negotiable if he's a reindeer or not, or is that, like, also part of the vision board?
As long as he's a little guy. He just needs to be a little guy. I just want him to be a little guy.
Okay.
And then Jamie Lee Curtis is gonna raise him to be a real doctor.
Got it.
And on that, hey Matt, what's the One Piece?
The One Piece is a cough drop.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a nice little lozenge for your throat there.
Yep. That's what it is.
Okay, buddy.
Next week we're watching 342 to 346. And it's going to be a great motherfucking thriller bark time, baby.
Matt's going to have his voice back. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, it's going to be the
Follow us on the Instas at Fun Piece Podcast. Send us in some, we have a transponder snail. We're going to save it for next week. Send us transponder snails over at funpeacepodcast@gmail.com. I think we're at TikTok at funpeace, podcast. Tell your friends, just send links. Send a link to our podcast, to your family, to your entire Facebook contact list, to your work email chain, to the Mormons who show up at your door soliciting.
Make a QR their, code.
The good ward.
Of our Spotify.
QR
code of our Spotify. Tag your local Wendy's drive-thru.
Please. Please. Oh, my God. Tag us everywhere. Go through and say, hey, Wendy's employee, have you heard of Fun Piece Podcast? And they'd say, no, what is that? And they're like, oh, it's a podcast about One Piece. Two boys are watching it for the first time, and they're gonna be like, I don't really care about One Piece all that much. I prefer to watch Breaking Bad. And they say, One Piece is a lot like Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. And they say, how? And then you drive away with your order before you can explain, but you've really planted the seed. Anyway, I'm going to stop. This has been a shorter episode. We love you. Happy New Year. Don't do drugs. Stay in school. You know the drill. Matt, do you have any final words?
Raw dog of flame.
Goodbye. Bye.